This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Chapel International, a united denomination originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Welcome to the Life Preaching Message, where the Word of God is imparted clearly, practically, and comprehensively. Our aim is to provide a solid foundation, a Bible-based instruction to our church members, to equip them to teach and preach wherever they may be. Join us for a life-changing encounter as you listen to this message.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We welcome you today in a special way. Have your way in our midst tonight. Let your will be done. We sweep aside our will. Have your way. Our desires mean nothing. Your way means everything. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It's a blessing to be gathered in the house of the Lord. And I want to share with you from the book Spiritual Dangers. Yes, I know you have the book. I know you have the book. And I know you give it to the new believers. And you recommend it to young Christians. But if anybody needs it, it's you and I. Because danger is danger. It doesn't matter your age. I said, danger is danger. It doesn't matter your spiritual age. If you neglect the rules, if you don't follow the necessary things, no matter how old you are in Christ, you can easily fall. And so I want to share with you some basic facts. I said I want to share with you some basic facts. And to emphasize why we need to do what God says we should do. And I hope to address some of the reasons why we don't do what he says we should do. You see, one of the names of the devil, one of the names of the devil is a deceiver. A deceiver. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he is described as the one that deceives the whole world, has been cast down from heaven. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon, you see, the adjective that was described is the great dragon, was cast out. The same dragon. The same person that is being called the great dragon is also being described as that old serpent. The one that made Adam and Eve give up everything. The one that has made the earth something terrible for what is intended to be. Called the devil. I've not seen a person that has so many names like this before. So many aliases. The great dragon alias old serpent alias devil and Satan. Hey! And what does he do? Which deceiveth the whole world. He deceives the whole world. Now, I believe that many people don't think they can be deceived. Many people don't feel that even in their current state, it could be a state of deception. In other words, they could be in a state that they are deceived. You see, that is why Paul said in, I think, 1 Corinthians, is it 1 Corinthians 13:5 or 2 Corinthians 13:5? One of them. But I think it's 1 13:5. It's a 13:5. He says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. In other words, take yourself and put yourself under microscope. So it's second. It's second. It can't be first. Because 13 for first is love. It's a love thing. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Check yourself. Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Prove your own self. Do we have another English form of examine yourself? Can you hear me? You can't hear me there. Can you hear me there? So how come they are not hearing me here? But I can't stop preaching. So maybe you can arrange yourself to where you can hear. And because you have to hear. You have not come here for the rain. You came to hear, isn't it? So maybe shift. There are spaces. If you can't hear, shift. You don't have to sit there and not hear what I'm saying. There's no special chair for anybody. We are all special. So every chair is special. And because we are special, everybody qualifies for every chair. No, don't be wicked to yourself and not hear. Look, if you are not hearing, move your chair. Just move your chair. We can do one more line here. Move your chair. Ashes, help them. Those who are not hearing, move the chair. Let them come in front. After all, the church is our church. Don't sit there and not hear. You have to hear. Sit in front. You are an important person. Don't allow yourself to sit at the back and not hear. So are we all okay now? Please, if you don't hear, it's not my fault. Because we have a lot of space. Take your chair and put it where you want to put it. You are free. It's your church. I said, it's your church. It's our church. We have not gone to rent a hall. That they will tell us we can't do this, we can't do this. We can do everything we want to do. It's our church. Amelia, come and sit here. Come here, there's a chair here. Come. There's a chair here. Why didn't Bishop call my name? Because I don't know your name. That's why I didn't call your name. Bishop has favorites. Yes, God has favorites. Hallelujah. So you see, what I'm trying to draw your attention to is to look at ourselves carefully to make sure that Satan does not deceive us or has not deceived us, thinking thinking we have something and yet we don't have anything. Hallelujah. So he says that examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, this is an important scripture. And Jesus also told us, I think in Luke 7 or something, that a fruit or a tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. The fruit of a tree bears testimony of what tree it is. Even if you didn't know, you don't have any knowledge about trees, how to identify them when there's whatever it is, you just see what fruit is this. Once you see the fruit, you can tell what tree it is. Hallelujah. Then verse 44. For every tree, this is the words of Jesus. So, where is your Bible? It's in the car. On the phone, and the phone is dead.
This Bible.
Let me tell you something. There are ways by which Satan affects you. Get proper Bibles. And if you want to have your Bible on a device, get a tablet. Because you see, if I'm reading my Bible on the phone and then I see a message, do you get it? It depends on where the message is coming from. I can easily be tempted to go there. And you see, when I have my phone and I'm sitting here, sometimes I'm tempted to send messages. So now, every now and then, I just leave the phone in the office so that it doesn't disturb me. So learn to have proper Bibles. Anyway, Jesus is saying, so listen. The first point I've drawn your attention to is that there is a devil who is a deceiver. And he would deceive you to think you are here, but meanwhile, you are there. Satan is the best deceiver you can ever have. Makes people think they are something when they are not. They are not that thing at all. You will discover that you are not what you think you are when an event occurs. Then you discover that I thought I was a big man, but there's not. You soon discover that there's nothing big about you. But Satan would have deceived you to walk around with the mind that I'm a big man. Now, being a big man would make you not do certain things you have to do, which will prosper your life. So once he deceives you to think of yourself as something that you are not, he stops you from doing what you have to do to prosper. You see, many people think that if you have to be great among people, you must be on top of them. But Jesus said that to be great among people, you must serve the people. You'll be great. So, for example, if Satan deceives you to think that to be a big man or a great person among people, you need to have this, you need to do this, you need to be here, that thing would make you not serve the people. So for a long time, you'll be doing the wrong thing, thinking you are great, only to discover that the great person amongst you is rather the person who served the people. I hope you're understanding it. So I'm showing you something because I'm making all these statements so that I can come to the point that I need to make. Amen. So Jesus, Paul tells us to examine ourselves. Jesus tells us that when you examine yourself, you will know what tree you are by the fruit that you have in your life. Because he says that for every tree is known by his own fruit. So listen. If this is true, then you need to ask yourself, in examining yourself, to say, what fruit am I bearing? Because you see, many of us have deceived ourselves to say that because I can sing Christian songs, and because I go to church, and because I do this, because I do this, because I'm in the choir, because I'm an usher, because I'm this, I'm that, it means God is happy with me. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And because of this, many of us, when we are faced with challenges, when we are tempted, we fall off. Oh yes, the easiest way people fall off is when something they didn't expect happens. Oh yeah, it's very easy. Many Christians are not able to see God's work in their lives. They are not able to, you see, because what you have not given yourself to understand, when something happens that is about to prove what you believe, because you don't understand it, you turn away and you go. Oh yeah, you turn away and you go. You see, because you don't really know your God, and you have ascribed your knowing of God to coming to church, singing, cleaning, and all those things. Now, when God wants to show you that he's a God who can make a way where there seems to be no way, when he allows all the ways to be blocked, so that according to you, there's no way, and now he's going to come to show you that he's a God who makes a way where there's no way, you say that God has deserted me, so you turn and you leave him. Most of us fall away easily. Are you with me? Oh yeah, most of us fall away easily by just an unexpected event happening that threatens our dream. But you see, God may want to show you that nothing can stop him from being to you what he is. But you see, in the process, you got angry and then you just left. Recently, just today, I heard somebody saying that the church has failed him. The church has failed him. The church has failed him. And what has the church failed him in? The church has failed him in his marriage. And I'm asking, is the church the one sleeping with your wife? Is the church the one staying with your wife? That's what I'm saying. That who is marrying your wife? Who is staying with your wife in the house? Is it the church? No, so I'm wondering, I'm trying to understand how the church has failed him. But you see, the problem with such people is that they've been around for long. But you see, they are not what they thought they were. That's the whole thing. They are not what they thought they were. But you see, and so that is why you can even make such a statement that the church has failed you. How? I personally, whatever I have told you to do, you don't do it. Whatever I've showed you, the word of God, and I am living with my wife because I have chosen to obey the word of God. It's not like two angels got married. It's two sinners who became saints of God by the blood and chose to obey the word of God. That's why we are still married. So, you see, I'm coming to church, giving offering, without obeying the word of God, does not make you a Christian. A Christian is first an obedient person of God. Somebody who obeys. I'm even going ahead of my sermon. You see, so listen. No, I just want, it's a teaching convention, so I just need to be systematic. Do you get it? I just need to, one point after the other. So the key here is that there is a deceiver who makes you to think you are something that you are not. There is a deceiver, and the work of the deceiver is to make everything contrary to what it is in your life and use it to keep you moving. Now, we need to examine ourselves carefully to see that, am I really a Christian? Am I really born again? And Jesus has confirmed, Jesus, God with us, says that whatever tree you are, the evidence of it is in the fruits you bear. So if you are to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith, to see whether you are born again, whether you are a child of God, you need to examine the fruits of your life.
That's right.
I said you need to examine the fruits of your life. That's very important. Don't deceive yourself that, oh, my pastor is Bishop Clifio, my prophet is Prophet Dag. It's good, but it doesn't mean anything if you are not becoming what a Christian must be. The work of all your pastors is to help you, to support you, and to encourage you, and to push you to become what the Holy Spirit wants to bear. The fruit the Holy Spirit wants to bear in your life. You see, don't be happy that I have a church. When I die, they will bury me. Look, we will bury anybody, even people that don't come to our church. Sometimes their relatives call on us. We bury them. But it doesn't mean you are going to meet up God favorably. You see, and God is not depending on our opinion of you to make his opinion.
That's right.
Hey. So my opinion of you will be very nice, because listen, when there was nobody, you were there, you were very helpful. So I'll always be appreciative of you.
That's right. That's right.
But if you are not bearing the fruit that you are supposed to bear as a born-again Christian, God will not be appreciative of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember, it's a teaching convention. And it's intended for us. So I told you guys that it's you I want. Don't worry about those who are not born again, that you are bringing. If they come, fine. But if they don't come, it's okay. We will get them. We know when we will organize a program for them. But this one is a home affairs.
Amen.
To make you strong Christians, to make you true, sincere Christians. Good. Now, when Jesus came, in many places, in his preaching and the message he gave to the disciples to go and preach, the first thing he expected the people who will receive the kingdom of God to do is to repent. Now, very few of us have taken our time to understand what it means to repent. And so today, as time will permit us, I want to go into a few points about what actually it means to repent. The English word repent is simply to turn aside, change your mind. Do you get it? That's the English word, turn aside, change your mind. But the Bible word that was used is more than the English word. First of all, there are two different words that was used for repent, or that was translated into the English as repent. There are two different words. I'm not going to go into details about that. But the most important thing is that every repented person is expected to have fruits that proves of the person's repentance. That is what John the Baptist, you see here, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what was Jesus saying? So you see, if Jesus' preaching was repent, I must know deeply what it means to repent, so that I will use it as my guideline in my walk with him. Because I may be walking with him, but I may not have repented. What, first of all, I want to ask myself, what I'm repenting about? What? What am I repenting about? What am I repenting about? Am I repenting that I no longer wear trousers? Now I want to wear shorts. Or I'm forced to wear shorts. I decided to wear shorts. No, there's something that I must repent concerning God. Because to repent calls on you to willfully change your mind. Change the mind from where it is to another. And John the Baptist said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they were coming to him for his baptism, that he says, oh, you vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God that is to come? Then he goes on to tell them that they should repent and bear fruit that is appropriate of a repentant heart. I think there's one in Luke, but there's one also in Matthew 3, 8, thereabout. Is it 8 or Matthew 3 something? It's an old generation of vipers. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The next verse. Verse 8. Is this the frozen? You can't tell me that it's frozen. It can't be frozen. It's a new computer. So, are we using a new computer? Yeah, so please, I must feel that this is new.
That's right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
After some time, I can accept. But for now, I need to feel the newness. Unless the operator must also be new. It says, bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, for every repentant heart, there is a corresponding fruit that must be present in that life. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I'm intentionally saying it slowly because I know that not all of us can catch things fast. So I'm not going according to the pace of those of us that are very fast. I'm going according to the pace of the slowest member of the church. Amen. And he said, and begin not to say to yourself. So he was warning them that they must not be deceived. Because there are things that deceive people. The presence of certain things makes you to be deceived. For example, thinking that because your father is a pastor, it means that you go to heaven. Your father's prayers cannot give you, it is not based on, oh, you see, this person's child, allow him to come. It works here on earth. But it doesn't work in the kingdom of heaven. And it doesn't matter whether you are born in church. You must be born again. Because you hear some people say, oh, I've been in church all my life. But you see, you may have been in church all your life, but you must prove that you are a repented soul. So he says, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Because why would he warn them about that? Because they know of God's relationship with Abraham. They know of who Abraham is to God. Therefore, being children of Abraham, they can be deceived to think that they have the privileges of Abraham. But the preacher, John the Baptist, was telling them that your relationship with Abraham is a biological one. But Abraham operated in a certain spiritual way that you must also operate. Otherwise, you will not have his privileges. So don't deceive, don't allow it to deceive you. And I'm saying to many of us that many of us come to church. But you see, it says, look, I've tried and I'm still trying. Sometimes I feel like giving up, but I'm not going to give up. You know, for people that are leaders in the church, like they are the main people, their pastor will call them to read their Bible regularly. And not to read a lot of just small portions of the Bible regularly, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And you are thinking to yourself, do these people really understand what it means to be born again? Because if one chapter of the Bible is a struggle to read, then it means that there's an understanding that is absent, I promise you. Because you cannot have 24 hours and not have time to read one chapter of the Bible. I said, you cannot have 24 hours and not have time to read one chapter of the Bible. There's something you don't understand. That is why you will not read one chapter of the Bible, even though God has given you 24 hours. So he tells them, bring fruit and say not within yourself, we have Abraham. Don't think that you can say, don't mind him. Abraham is our father. You are joking. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, losing you to hell is not a problem at all. God can give Abraham children. Hallelujah. So I want us to look at a few things. I've almost finished preaching. No, don't worry. It doesn't mean we have ended. The fact that I've finished preaching doesn't mean we've ended. Some of you are happy that I've said I've finished preaching. You are pretending. You are pretending. As if to say that you are not happy that the preaching was very short. Yeah. Please stop pretending. Amen. Good. So I just want to read. Normally I don't read, but I want to read a few things that I believe is important. There are mosquitoes here. They are everywhere. So a person who has repented, who says, I have repented, accepts in them that selfishness is sin. Selfishness. And that it is right and a duty to consecrate the whole being to God and his service. You see, a repentant person, listen carefully, a person who repents and a person who has repented, this is one of the first things, that selfishness is not on, it's a sin. And that consecration of yourself to and the service of God is the right thing to do and is your duty. What is the root of sin? When Adam and Eve
were tempted. It was about themselves, not about God. Whatever was suggested to them was going to benefit them, not God. So the root of sin is me, myself, and I. That's the power of sin. It's about me. Satan made it about him. He said, I would ascend. I would ascend. You see, so sin is when it's about you and not about God. Sin is when it is about you and not about God. So a person who says, I repent, is a person who says, it's no longer I, but it is you. Now, you see, if you understand this point that I've made, what will occupy you mostly in the day will not be for your benefit, but it will be for the benefit of God. I mean, plainly spoken. But whatever benefits God will benefit you. That's the beauty. Whatever benefits God will benefit you. So a repentant person, remember that you are changing your mind. To repent, it means actually to change your mind. Repentance is not emotional. No. It's a change of mind, change of heart. My heart is no longer about me. It's about God. That's why the song says, We lay aside our own desires. We lay aside our own desires. Because your desire is what we should be longing for, not our desires. And the sin is me, myself, and I, not about the one who has created me. And you see, the strength of it is based on the deception that if I don't take care of myself, it will not be well with me. But it is only well with you because God has allowed it to be well with you, not because you take care of yourself. Because God doesn't deal with you tit for tat. No, God is loving, is merciful. So he allows many of the things you do to still keep on working. Because he knows and he's working on you to get you at the appropriate time. But sooner than later, your time will finish. So I repented. When you repent, one of the cardinal things that happens to you that shows that you have repented in your relationship with God is that your life is no longer about you, but it becomes about God. That is why a struggle to read your Bible and a struggle to pray is a big problem. It questions whether you are born again or not. You see, it is hard truth. But that a thing is hard does not mean it must be rejected. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. I said, a truth that is rejected because of its hardness opens you up to deception. So the question you must ask yourself is, Jesus said, I must repent. The preaching is preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If I have repented, you see, unless you repent, the way that God has provided for you to come to him will mean nothing to you. Because you see, it is about you. It's not about God. So what do you need him for? You see, Jesus Christ becomes a necessity when God is everything to a person. I said, Jesus Christ becomes a necessity when God is everything to a person. You see, so it is when you have repented about who you serve or what you live for, when you have repented and accepted that it's not no longer I, but it's Christ that liveth in me, that is when you really would say that I need Jesus. So when you are there as a Christian and you don't have a Bible and you don't care and you have money to buy hair that you use for 6 weeks or 6 months, please don't scream. I'm just using it because that's the commonest thing they do. But you boys, you also know what you do. You also know what you do. The ladies, do the boys spend on you? Because I feel the boys here, they are stingy. But you also fall for them too easily. You also fall for them too easily. Before they stretch their hands, you have presented yourself. So you don't give them a reason to make expenses on you. Nigga, you don't give them something to think about how to access you. Nigga, because you present yourself before they have called you. That's why they don't find a reason to spend on you.
Mercy.
But you see, listen. If you say you have repented, and repentance is a necessity for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So you see, we may be praying, Lord, pour out your spirit. Lord, pour out your spirit. And we will see nothing because, truly speaking, there's no evidence of repentance in our lives. So why should God pour out his spirit to an unrepentant heart? To do what? But you see, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life will take you to places nobody would have dreamt for you. Will bring in your life something you would never have imagined. But God says that we must repent. You see, we've been praying the last prayer meeting we had, we prayed for a revival. And the Lord revealed to me that you cannot revive something that is not real. So start from examining yourself. Let your heart reflect a repentant heart. A heart that says that, that's what was, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me. Are you with me? So it's important. We need to examine ourselves. Because don't believe that because you go to church, God is cool with you. Your pastor may be very cool with you. But who is your pastor before God? But a servant that can be disposed of in a flash. Are you with me? So seek that God will be happy with you. And don't root your confidence in ceremonies and other things that count for nothing. I hope you are here with me. So that's the first thing that, you see, a heart that is repented is a heart or a mind that says that, God, it's you. It's not about me. You get it? It says that selfishness about me is sin. And many of us, we may not fornicate, we may not do anything, but selfishness. You know, today somebody who is very selfish in every sense of the word sent me a message. And the person was regretting, like speaking, that she's been selfish. So the question I ask is, what has triggered this, like, reflection? But the person is very selfish. Then I realized that, you see, we were not asking so much of you, but just to share in your gifts. Now, when somebody wants you in their life, what they want is what God has given you. Because sometimes you are creative. When you are in an environment, you bring good ideas that makes things go. So normally, people that are set on a journey to do things look for helpers. And so sometimes they spend on you. They also tell you that you are important to them. But this person, everybody that has showed her love and like you are important, you mean something, it's almost like once she leaves your presence, that's the end of you. Once the person doesn't need anything from you, that's the end of you. And most of us are very selfish, extremely selfish. But selfishness is sin. As a selfishness is sin. And the strength of sin, I mean the root of sin is the selfishness, the power to be selfish. Amen. Good. It also implies an agreement both in the mind and in the heart that God is justified. That his laws, his government, and all his ways are right. You see, the only reason when somebody would tell you, do this or do it like this, and you don't do it like that, is because what you are saying is that the way you are asking me to do it is not the only way, and I don't think it's the best way for me. So, you see, when we find ourselves not agreeing and obeying God's instructions in our lives, what we are saying to God is that you are not the only person who knows how to do this thing. Obviously, then you are not a repentant. You are not a person who's repented. But a repentant heart says that, God, whatever you say is true. Whatever you say is true. Whatever you ask me to do is the right thing. Because that is the basis of the departure. That's the basis of the departure. Because God has created you. If Adam and Eve had understood that God said, don't eat this, it means that's the best thing for you. Do you get it? But they felt that no, it was beneficial to them. And that God cannot be right in this particular case. Are we understanding it? So it's like when you struggle to obey the word of God, you need to check yourself. Am I a repentant? Because a repentant person is like, whatever God says is right. So his only one mission is a mission of obeying the word. So he sets out to obey the word. Sometimes in obeying the word, wherever you are, it may need several steps. But your heart is saying, I want to obey this. I may not be there yet, but this is where I'm going. It's a different thing from somebody who says, this is not the only way. You see, and the person who said the church has failed him. The church has failed him in his marriage. I look at him and I say, every person that has come into contact with you would hear bad things about your wife. In fact, the day he sat with me in my office and wanted to tell me the story, I said, I don't want to hear your story. I don't want to hear your story. And I don't need the story. What I need is tell me, write to me in black and white. Tell me what you want your wife to do, and I'll call her and talk to her. I said, he said, no, Bishop, let me. I said, I don't want to hear. I don't have time, and I don't want to hear. Because you've always made up so many stories, and you lie, blatant lie.
Yes.
And you don't want to listen to anybody to tell you that, listen, when a marriage is spoiling, it is because the man, you see, there are few women that no matter what you do, there's nothing you can do. But invariably, a man can decide whether the marriage will work or not. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because what is a problem? I have to decide that this is a problem. So if I decide that this thing is not a problem, it won't be a problem. It's my decision. Yeah, I've told you that always when you cook, you must dish out and not leave it in the pot. And you've decided that you're leaving it in the pot all the time. Now, I have to decide whether leaving it in the pot, leaving it in the pot or dishing it out is a problem or not. You see, if I decide that it's not a problem, it cannot be a problem. You see, what becomes a problem is what I decide that is a problem. Because listen, I can decide that the fact that I have told you to dish out and you don't decide, it means you don't respect me. And therefore, I'm going to make it a problem. But if I decide that I've told you to dish out and you don't dish out, it doesn't mean you don't respect me. It will not be a problem. I don't know if you understand it. At the end of the day, you see, you have to. You see, some people say, no, you are a weak man. Listen, I will be weak and have a marriage rather than be strong and have a broken home. Now, listen. So, this person never obeys the word of God. And you say you're a Christian. You see, a Christian, it should bother you. It should bother you. It should bother you. It should worry you to ask yourself, am I repentant? Such that now God's instruction is not my goal to obey. Oh, yeah. I question your repentance. I said, I question your repentance. You know, a repentant heart says, you are God. I'm your creation. Whatever you say and whatever you want is right and is true. And you see, it's, the truth is that it's not that you are saying it when it's not true. It is true. Whatever God says, it is true. You have to agree with it and decide that God is going to lead me. So he said, that's what he said. Bring forth fruit, meat of repentance. It also implies faith. Or confidence in God in all things. That repentance is a state of mind that implies the fullest confidence in the promises and the threatenings of God and the atonement and the grace of Christ. Yeah. I hope you understand it. That when you say, I'm repented, what you are saying is, I no longer have confidence in myself. I have all my confidence is in God. Now, you see, if these things, there are many more things, but if these things are present, it's going to set you on a journey that is going to yield fruit in your life. That will show that this person has God as everything. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So the question we need to answer is, can I say I am repentant? I have repented of my sin of me, myself, and I being my God. Because that's your sin. That's my sin.
Me, myself, and I. So many of us are say we are born again. But me, myself, and I is still our God. But you see, the Bible has assured us that the Lord knoweth them that are his. So I may say you belong to the Lord, and you will say you belong to the Lord, but would the Lord say you belong to him? So you see, because of the keys that Jesus has given us, that a tree is, sit properly, you hurt your back. When you grow older, you understand. Now it will not be a problem, but when you grow older, then you discover that you should have been sitting properly. All of you, you must sit, always sit, use the chair as it's been designed, and always sit like that. Do you get it? So that your back can carry you for 80 years, 90 years, without a back pain. Some of us didn't obey it, and now we have to live with a lot of adjustments. Do you get it? So please, let me give you what I have learned as I'm on the halfway house. Are you with me?
Amen.
Yeah. So listen, as I round up, we have seen the definition of what it means to repent. And you see, the presence of the Holy Spirit manifests in hearts that are repentant. So we need to examine ourselves to say that if I say I have repented, can I say I've denounced myself as being my God? And God being my everything. Do I have confidence in God? Am I doing what God says? Because you see, the only reason you will not do an instruction or make an effort to do it is because you don't agree with it. I mean, whoever it is recently that I spoke with, that I gave instruction, that go and write what you want. And you see, he brought up some things that I was actually going to negotiate with the wife. Use Christian principles to really negotiate, to plead with her not to do what she wants to do. But because of where the guy is, I wanted him to write it so that it will be, this is what you wrote to me. And I said, this is what your husband is asking for. Try and be kind to him. Yeah, my plan was to negotiate seriously. That was what I had in mind. It was not like I was, and in the process, I made a comment that, listen, you see, the difficulty of he was trying to paint to me that the wife is a bad wife, this. And I said, oh, it's not true. It's not true. Another person would have this person as a wife. And there will be happiness in the house. That's the reality. You see, there are bicycles made. You see, we ride bicycles according to our size.
Okay.
Do you get it? Now, your inability to ride the bicycle does not mean the bicycle is at fault. It is the rider's problem. Do you get it? So when you are not an experienced rider, you will be falling with the bicycle. It's not that the bicycle is not good. Do you get it? It's not that the bicycle is no good. Yes, it's true that there can be some bicycles that have twisted, whatever. It's true, but what I'm speaking is general. That given a bicycle, whether you're able to ride it or not, it's actually the rider's problem. So that you cannot ride it because you are 2 years old does not mean a 10-year-old person cannot ride a bicycle. So that you cannot stay with a woman does not mean another man cannot stay with her and there will be peace.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because she may be a difficult woman, strong, pushy. You just need a very simple, soft, phlegmatic husband who says, play on, let's go. Do you get my point?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
You see, and that's what it is. Occasionally you get a woman whose father is the devil. That's a different thing. That one, even Jesus will struggle. You have to cast her out. You see, but it's occasional. Are you with me? So in the same way, as we examine ourselves, can we say we are repentant? Because Jesus says, a tree is known by his own fruit. What are the fruits in our life that reflects God as everything? Are there fruits in our life which is God, it's not my will, but your will? What are your dreams? What are your ambitions? What has God said concerning your dreams and ambitions? Have you believed him or you have disagreed with him? A repentant person says, Lord, your word is everything. Because remember that what brought about the separation between God and man is the refusal to accept God's word as everything. You realize that in the garden, the basic thing is disagreement. It's not about you, it's about me. A tree to be desired, to make one wise. Not to make God wise, to make me wise. So even though you have said don't eat it, look, it will help me, I'm going to eat it. Your word is not everything. But I want you to know God's word is everything. God's word is everything. Don't live to discover it. Believe it now. And let's work our lives until we can clearly see the fruit of this belief that God's word is everything. Until we can clearly see the confidence that we trust God in every situation. You see, as you get to every stage, there are different challenges that come. But of late, what I've been hearing from God is trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Fear not. Don't worry. Trust me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Am I repentant? Yes. I want to believe so. And I want to have evidence of my absolute reliance on God. His word must stand tall. In my decisions, in my actions, in my dreams, his word must be everything. And therefore, I'm striving to have more of his word in my heart. And my prayer for you is that you do likewise. You will see God's hand. I said, you will see God's hand in your life. You will see his power. Let us, because you see, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. So far, we are not seeing those signs. Is it because God is not true? No. The Holy Spirit goes to a place where there's repentance. I said, the Holy Spirit. Peter told them in Acts 2:38 that repent, repent, and you shall be baptized. Please, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, repent. Change your mind. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes to people who have met the condition of repentance. May the Lord lead us to come to that place of true repentance. That as we cry for his Holy Spirit, because of the place we are, he will pour forth his Holy Spirit on our lives
in a mighty way. And whatever has been impossible for us to do, and wherever it has been impossible for us to go, we shall go. Whatever we have lacked, the enemy that has defeated us in many places shall no longer defeat us, because his spirit is coming upon us mightily. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lift up your voice and begin to talk to God. Lord, we want to be believers, truly repentant in everything. Father, help us. Help us. That your spirit will come. That times of refreshing shall come upon us. Please don't move around unnecessarily. We are praying. And I want you to pray. Talk to God. That, Lord, today I come before you. As I examine myself, I can see before we have gone far that the fruit of repentance is scarce. I've done things all the time in my own way. Never have I trusted in you. I've picked up quarrels that I should have left it for you. I've engaged myself in issues that I should have committed to you. And it's because I've not had that confidence in you. But Lord, tonight, I trust you in everything. I change my mind and hand over everything about me to you. It's not about me anymore. It's all about you.
You know how to sing this song.
Oh, yes, Lord.
It's not about me. It's all about you.
As you shake your mind.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you.
It's all about you, Lord.
It's all about you.
Libana Maria da Sama Kakari. Likiri Bala Masa.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah.
Libini Kamala Maria da Makaba.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Lift up your voice and pray. Lord, engage God. Engage Him. Say, I'm here not for fun, but to seriously. Thank you, Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift up your voice as you sing in the breath. Oh, Shodo Makataya.
For your glory and your fame. It's not about me.
It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about God.
As if you should do things my way.
I cannot do things my way.
You alone are God, and I surrender.
Thank you, Jesus.
To your way.
It's not about me, it's about you.
It's all about you.
Everything, my breath, my going and coming.
Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Jesus. And all this is for you.
Oh, yes.
You. For your glory.
I want to see the fruit of repentance in my life.
It's not about me.
Oh, yes.
As if you should do things my way.
It cannot be. It cannot be.
You alone are God.
I surrender everything. Everything. I give up myself that I might have you. Kabo shindere babo si kalama.
Jesus, lover of my soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ma
no ria katare.
In your gates, Jesus, I want you to
that I will follow you all of my days. 'Cause no one else in history is like you.
Thank you, Jesus.
History itself belongs to you. And Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's not about me, Lord. Thank you for your direction. That is always about God. It's about God. But we can trust that even as it is about Him, He will care for us. He will provide for us and bring to our lives all that we need for this life without the deception of those things. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I wanted to lift up our voice and tell the Lord, Lord, tonight I surrender my everything to you. Let me have a touch of your spirit. Let me have a touch of your power that will make this desire come true. Touch us, Lord. Holy Spirit, our helper. We have believed in Jesus as our Lord and Savior without fully repenting. Because we didn't understand what it means to repent. But tonight you have revealed to us that repentance is to give up ourselves and receive God as everything. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray for all of us that is gathered here, Lord. Now rain forth your spirit on us and let us never be the same. Touch us and bring us to that place where we see clearly what we need to see and where we understand what we need to understand. Thank you that the enemy shall not deceive us. Thank you that the enemy shall not deceive us.
Yes, Lord.
That every darkness is lighting up with the light of your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Through your word. Through your revelation, we see light. We lay no longer our claim on things we do in church, but we examine ourselves to see the fruit of repentance. For you have said that a tree is known by its own fruit. Lord, when you look at us, may you see your righteousness. Lord, when you look at us, may you see what is pleasing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you for that help. Thank you for the help that you are receiving from God. Thank you, Lord. We are thankful for that help. Thank you for the passion that is burning our hearts.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your word.
Thank you, Jesus.
And for you. This is our desire, to honor you. Lord, with all our hearts, we want to worship you. This is my desire.
This is my desire, to honor you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Lord, with all my heart, I worship.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, this is my desire.
All
that I have within me, I want it to belong to you.
Me, I give.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I adore, that I adore is in you. Oh, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
For you, Lord. Oh, Rakata Rabasu Dodibaba. Ibala Sukutaya Naria Babasaka. Jesus, let it be true. Let it be true. As we seek your help to be true. Have your way.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Oh yes, I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take,
every moment
I'm away.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way. Give you my heart.
Give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your.
give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. It's our desire to walk in every fruit of repentance, to honor you, and to surrender all to you. We give up our ambitions. And we take up your ambition for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every moment that I'm awake, Lord, please have your way. Have your way, have your way. Have your way in me, Lord. Let my heart be all yours. Share with nothing else and with no one. Let me live for you, Lord. Let every breath be for you. Every moment of my awakeness, please, Lord, have your way.
Lord, have
enough
your
of myself, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way.
I give you my soul.
That's my cry. Jesus, tonight I cry to you. Have your way. Have your way in me.
Every moment I'm away.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Lord, have your way.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving me just as I am.
Give you my soul.
Presenting yourself on the cross. And all you ask of me is to change my mind and surrender my heart to you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, please let not this be a song only, but let it be the testimony of our lives. Whatever is deceiving us, whatever is lying to us, Lord, from tonight, let it never be able to do so again. Shine your light in our hearts and let us see clearly that when you have your way in our lives become fruitful. Our lives will flourish and we have all that we desire. The peace in our marriages, the peace in our relationship, the prosperity of our work is when you have your way in us. Oh, thank you. That when you are in control and you have everything to yourself, you make beautiful our lives. Holy Spirit, we seek your manifestation in our lives. And we thank you for showing us what we must do for you to manifest. We ask you for help because you are our helper.
Thank you for help. Thank you, Jesus. Let no one under the sound of my voice leave here the same as they have come. But by your power, do only what you can do in the hearts of us. That we go with a seed of a change. A change to love to read your word. A change to love talking to you. A change to submit wholeheartedly to you in everything. May the song of our mouth be, Lord, not my will, but your will. Not my ideas, but your instructions, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for answered prayer. Every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I surrender to you, Lord, my heart.
Give you my soul.
It's yours, Lord. It's yours. It's yours. It's never been mine from the beginning. It's because I'm deceived. But tonight, Lord, I see the light. I see the light.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my
heart. Let it be our prayer. Let it be our prayer to the Lord. Oh, I live for you, Lord. I live for you, Lord. I don't want to live for myself. I will live for you. I live for you. Oh, Jesus, have your way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for tonight. We have not come in vain, but we have come to receive of you help. Holy Spirit, we are grateful that in your own way, ways we cannot understand, you bring us to the place we ought to be and help us to do what we need to do. We say thank you. We want to sing amen, amen, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father, you who know all things, you who know our pain, you who knows our cry, tonight, as your servant, Lord, I present every need before your throne, knowing that you who supplies, you who makes a way, and you who makes all things possible, shall bring to pass every need and every help that is present here tonight. I pray for healing. Physically, heal us. Emotionally, heal us.
Amen.
Wipe away every tear.
Amen.
Every sorrowful heart, Lord, bring joy. Bring peace.
Amen.
Open doors, Lord,
Amen.
That we may go out and come in to find pasture. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for them that are in need of jobs. That, Lord, because of your mercy, a door of opportunity shall open for them.
Amen.
Those that needs to move up, Lord, grant them the wisdom key to move up
Amen.
In their work. Those that need wisdom, how to spend their money, I ask, O Lord, of wisdom for them.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord, that even as we yield our hearts wholeheartedly to you, by your Spirit, you would guide us through this life. And we shall be fruitful. We shall be fruitful to your glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. And the saints of God shall say with me, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, I don't know if you are here and you are not born again. And you want to say, Pastor, I want to be born again. Wherever you are, lift up your right hand. If there's anybody here who is not born again and you want to be born again, lift up your right hand wherever you are. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You want to say, Pastor, I want to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that I'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to repent of being my own God. I want to repent of doing my things my own way. And I want to come and surrender totally to God in my ways and in everything. And I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Lift up your right hand. Let me pray with you. Thank you. Is there any hand that is lifted up? Okay, I see a hand that is lifted up. I want you to come. I want to pray for you. Come. Those of you who lifted up your hands, I want to come. Don't open your eyes. Just keep praying. No clapping. Please come. Come. You lifted up your hands. Come. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I surrender to you.
Father, let us pray this prayer. Let us pray. I'm praying for them. Father, I thank you that you always do what you want to do and you do it for our good. It brings you pleasure, but it is always for our good. And I'm grateful for what you have done in these lives tonight, Lord. And I thank you that their faith will not stand in the enticing words of man, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. They shall stand and their trust shall be in God alone, not in a church. I thank you for these precious lives. They are precious. I know they are precious. Because even one of them is setting heaven on rejoicing. How much more four of them standing here? I give you praise, Lord. And I know that you shall bless them and cause their lives never to be the same again. I want you to pray this prayer with me as you stand here. And I want congregation to join in as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for always loving me, even when I did my own things. And even when I rejected you, you never rejected me. You loved me and sent Jesus to die for me. I thank you for bringing me back to yourself. As I come, I repent of my ways. Of my ways where I am the God of my life. And I surrender everything to you. You alone are God. And I am your creation. I confess Jesus Christ as your Son who died for my sins, who rose again on the third day, seated at your right hand. By his death and his blood that was shed, I have received forgiveness of my sins. Therefore, I come to you as my Father, and I ask you to lead me, to guide me, and to show me how to walk in this life that you have given me. You would always be first in my life, and your voice will be first. What you say is what I shall give myself to do. Thank you for the help that I will receive from you by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross and your blood that was shed that has set me free from all my sins. By this blood of yours, I would always come to God in prayers. Thank you for making a way to come to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Father, bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you've been blessed by this message. To stay connected, follow our LCI social media platforms.